a bris mila. Kabbai sai. Kabbai sai. Okay, well, this week we learned about bris mila. Bris mila obviously is the fundamentals of Judaism. And this week we have the fundamentals of the fundamentals, because today, this week's parasha, who Hashem instructs Avraham Avinu, parashas Lech Lecha, that he shall be the first person to have a bris mila. And there are many, many questions. We have many, many, many different dimensions to the bris mila of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was really the first ger. He was the first. That's why every ger takes on the name of, not every ger, but many gerim. Many gerim take on the name Avraham.
Ben Avraham.
They take a name and they name their name Ben Avraham. Some of them, in fact, even they take the name Avraham themselves. And then they become Avraham Ben Avraham. That's not so uncommon. Avraham Ben Avraham. People take different whatever. Everyone has different customs. The people get different advice from different rabbanim, different circumstances. But Avraham is the Av of Gerim. We all are Gerim. We're a nation of Gerim. We are Gerim in different dimensions. We are Gerim in Eretz Mitzrayim. We were just visitors. We know what it's like to be Gerim. We were there for 210 years. But we also, there's another dimension of being Gerim, is that we're all newcomers. Avraham Avinu, when the world was created, there was no nation of Klal Yisrael. Avram was part of the nation of Aram Naharaim. He was a Babylonian. He lived in Aram Naharaim. He was a native to that land. He was a native to another country. He was, today you would say, he was living in Iran, Iraq, somewhere in the around the bubble was really Iraq. I guess somewhere in between Iran and Iraq. Probably Iraq, I would imagine. That's what they have. I think that's what they have. They claim the ancient Aram Naharaim. You know, when Saddam Hussein was overthrown, there was a lot of excitement. And I'm hearing this from Deutsch, what's his first name? The one who has the Torah, the Living Torah Museum. His first name? Okay, the one, the Living Torah Museum.
Aram is near Syria?
Aram is Syria, yes.
Aram is Syria. But Aram Naharaim.
Aram is northwest, not down in the south.
Isn't Aram Naharaim somewhere
in Aram went from there to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz
Canaan.
Yes. Then that wasn't a bad journey. But to go from Iraq was a very difficult journey.
Very difficult. But then he took a detour to Mitzrayim. He also ended up in Mitzrayim for. Okay, I don't know all the details.
No, that's not bad, because you're going along the coast. It's fertile, and.
But where is in your assessment, where is Avraham's original birthplace? Where is Ur Kasim?
Not southern Ur. Or of the Kasdim, Ur means city, the city of
Bikra,
the
valley. Rashi says Ur is a valley.
That's the northern part between the rivers, not down south, the Sumerian Ur. Ur means city.
Bikra, Rashi translates what Ur is a valley. Ur Kasdim, he says, is a valley.
Yes. Uru in Sumerian means here.
A city, okay.
Just like the word city. Urban.
Okay, where it is
then? Im is a genitive. So Ur Kasdim, it's not a plural. It could be the city of Kesen.
Okay, fine.
In other words, in cuneiform studies, if you find Ur Kasdima, it means the city of Kesed.
Okay, so Avraham Avinu, he left his homeland to Eretz Yisrael, and he was Hashem made a covenant with him through the Bris Milah. Now we know the Bris Milah of Avraham was unique in many forms. First of all, there was no Perea. Today, the Bris Milah, we do three parts. There's Milah, which is the removal of the foreskin. Perea, the folding over or the removal. This is a very big hot topic. What exactly is Perea? Today, actually, there are two techniques. I don't know the statistics of how to do Perea. There are some Moyalim who do they do the entire Bris Milah in one cutting, in one act. I'm not familiar with the details, but they do it in one action. One action removes the thick, relatively speaking, the thick outer skin together with the thin membrane. There's a very thin membrane. And that is called that, and the priya is the removal of that membrane. And there are other myelin which today they do it in two steps. First, they remove the outer, thicker foreskin, and then it's interesting, they don't necessarily remove it, but they fold it upwards. They fold it towards the body. To me, I once told this to a moel, a very chashim moel, and he had a very good reaction. He really liked what I told him. And he says, you say in the bracha, Asher Kodas, maybe some of you will remember, there in the bracha, you mentioned the Mila, v'chosam be'ois b'ris kodesh. What does it mean, a chasima? Why is the Bris Milah called a chasima? So I said, well, according to those Moyalim who don't just remove both skins in one shot, but the Moyalim that do it in the two-step process. Anyone here familiar with Bris? Anyone here in Moyal? Any Moyalim over here? You're Moyal? No,
my son-in-law, my
Mochot. So ask him this. I told this to a very chashim moel, and he really liked it. There are moelim who do the Bris Milah in one shot, where they remove both skins in one act of cutting. Then there are moelim which do it, I think it's the more traditional way, where they remove the outer skin completely, and then they take the inner membrane, and they don't remove it. Instead, they fold it back. It's folded back. That's called prino. Now, you can either remove it entirely or you can fold it back. When it's folded back, what I've read in the journals, I can't even look at the stuff because it's too gory for me. I'm get nauseous even thinking about this. But if you fold it back, what it says in the journals, it heals much better, much quicker. And also, it has a much more, and it's not nice to talk to you, it has better a much appearance. More nicer tzura. Sorry?
It has
a better appearance. Now, what about health-wise? There's a lot that's very important because how the person's whole life, the way the Bris Milah is done has an effect on his health. Okay, there is certain types of cancers that can happen in that area. A lot of different things. Is it prone? Is it vulnerable to infection later in life? They're all different issues. But these are two different techniques. So I told once and more that if you do it where you take the inner foreskin and you fold it backwards, it creates a seal, a chasima on the incision. The incision removes the outer foreskin, and folding it back creates chosam be'ois bris chodesh. I think there was more to it, and the model said it really fits well. The tradition, the world of folding it back, would then be understood as the chasima, whereas the removal of the foreskin is the milah. There is the milah and the chasim. The milah is the actual removal of the orla. And the chasima would refer to the peria. Okay, and then there's mitzitza, which is not our topic of discussion. There is mitzitza, to remove to, the Rambam says the purpose of mitzitza, the Rambam's words are to be mitzitz, the blood, the dam, mimikoimois horechoikim, from the distant sources of where blood accumulates. Today, almost no one, almost no one does mitzitzah today, period. He says, the only one that really did mitzitzah, he told me, was Rabbi Belsky, Zechzak Mavracha. He did mitzitzah. He did a mitzitzah bepeh. I know it's very controversial in many circles. And he did it to be mekayim the Rambam, the Rambam says, to be moitzitz the dam, mimikoimois horichoikim. From the most distant sources of where the dam collects. I once saw a moil do mitzitzah bepeh from far, not so close up. It was like a neshika. It was like I understood what he was telling me, that the real mitzitzah is in the koimoy sorochaikim. The instruments, the utensils that we use today, don't really achieve what the Rambam writes in the koimoy sorochaikim. And even mitzitzah bepeh, most people don't really, they say they do mitzitzah bepeh, but they're not really doing mitzitzah bepeh. It's not, you can't say that they're doing it to be kind of the way it really is described in the Rambam. Whatever it is. But the point we make over here is there are three parts of bris mila. There is the removal of the orla, there is the priya, and there is the mitzitzah. Avraham Avinu was only given the mitzvah of the removal of the orla. There's no mention at all of relation to Avraham Avinu's bris mila in Chazal, priya. And the assumption is that there's no priya, there's no mitzitzah. So by Avraham Avinu there was no priya, and if there's no priya, there's no mitzvah. There's just orla. When did priya come into play? Yehoshua. In the times of Yehoshua was the first time when the mitzvah of priya was added to a bris mila. Priya that's the removal or the folding of the inner membrane. Now that's a very interesting thing. What about Moshe Rabbeinu? When Moshe gave the Torah to Sinai, so they didn't do Priya. Why only is Priya associated with Yoshua? Why isn't Priya associated with Moshe Rabbeinu? If that's part of Matan Torah, we understand that Avraham Avinu was only given Orla, and then at Matan Torah the mitzvah was upgraded, like all the Zion mitzvahs there were upgraded. So the mitzvah of bris mila at the time of Matan Torah was upgraded to include, in addition to the mila, to include the priya. So how come we don't find by Moshe Rabbeinu anything about priya? We only find by Yehoshua. So you'll answer, well, in the desert, Chazal tell us no one did a bris mila. In the desert, they didn't do bris mila because there was no wind. It was a sakana. There was no ruach tzifonis. There's this principle that in order for the baby to properly heal, he needs there to be ventilation. It has to be proper ventilation. And in the midbar, there was no ventilation. It's sakonis nefasha. It's that there's no, if a person has an open wound and there is no ventilation, the Anani HaKavod enclosed the Jewish people to such a degree where the northern wind did not blow. And without the northern wind, it's a sakonis to do bris mila. So the vast majority of Klal Yisrael did not perform bris mila the entire 40 years in the desert. That's what it says in Chazal. The exception of Levi. Shevet Levi was Moiser Nefesh. I don't think it's agreed to in all opinions. They were Moiser Nefesh, even though it was indeed a Sakana. They were Moiser Nefesh to do Bris Mila, even though there was no northern wind. And we don't know what happened. We actually don't know. It's interesting because we have an assumption. Shevet Levi definitely was a very smaller number. Their population did not grow to the same degree as all of the other Shvatim. That's a very big mystery. Why are the numbers? If you do the math, the numbers in Bamidbar, in various svarim, which sections of Tanakh that tell us about their population did not grow in proportion to the other shvatim. And the common answer that was given is the Aron HaKodesh caused them to die. What does that mean? Because who was charged with carrying the Aron HaKodesh in the desert? The Levim, Shevet Levi, that was their mission, to carry the Aron HaKodesh. We have the story with Uzzah by David HaMelech. If you're not on an exalted spiritual level and you come in the vicinity of the Aron HaKodesh, Rachman al-Utslan, person can die. Aron HaKodesh does not tolerate nonsense. You have to be fit, roy, to carry the Aron HaKodesh. And many of the Levim perished in their carrying the Aron HaKodesh. That is something which could be, even Chazal say this. I always wonder that maybe, you know, always I wonder maybe in addition is that since Chazal also say that the Bnei Levi were Moiser Nefesh to perform Bris Milah, the rest of Klal Yisrael did not observe Bris Milah in the 40 years of the desert because of the Sakana of the Ruach Tzifonis, his absence. But Shevet Levi did perform Bris Milah, and it was a Sakana. Isn't it to be noted, Chazal say it's Sakana, and their population did not grow? They did not grow. Is there a relationship? Is there a correlation? Is the pshat that the Bris Milah, that they died from the Bris Milah? Or maybe it means the doing a Bris Milah when there was no northern wind, it damaged the Aver, there was damage to their reproductive organ, where they did not grow in number as the other Shvatim. I don't know, I'm saying nonsense, or is there some correlation?
Because in Mitzrayim, they multiplied?
Yes, in Mitzrayim they multiplied, everyone multiplied equally in Mitzrayim. Their number in Mitzrayim was equal to everyone else. The population growth in Mitzrayim, no one challenges the numbers. The numbers, I mean, they were different, not everyone's the same, obviously, but in Mitzrayim we don't, wait a minute, you're saying something, you're right, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I'm saying, you're right. They were not part of the Shibud, and that's why they did not grow. You're right. Even in Mitzrayim, they did not grow proportionally. Because in Mitzrayim, no pain, no gain. That's what the Chazal say. Being that they did not suffer, the people who suffered, there was the benefit, that there was a silver lining. That bracha was to the people that suffered. The people who suffered, so thank you, excellent on the mark. It was no pain, no gain. Those who suffered, merited the blessing. But Shei the Levi, they were not included in the Shibud, they were clergy. Clergy was exempt from the Shibud. They did not experience the blessing of Ken Yerbe V'chein Yifreitz to the same degree. But even going into the next generation, in the desert, there's also, even what their population, even their number, also did not grow in proportion to the other Shvatim. And that was explained by the way Chazal says, because they were in charge with carrying the Aron, and many of them died when they came in contact with the Aron HaKodesh. They were not Roy. I'm just making a suggestion. Is there also another element to why they did not grow in number? Because most of Klal Yisrael said it's a sakana. It's pasha sakana, and it's not the best medical advice to have a bris milah in the desert, and inside Machane Yisrael in the desert, where there's no ruach tzefinis. And they were permitted. That was the halacha. Now, even though that's the halacha, but obviously Sheva Levi felt, as Chazal say, that you're allowed to be moiser nefesh. You're allowed to risk your life. And they did risk their life. My question is that risk of life that they took, were there consequences? It doesn't say, not that I know of, because they definitely did not grow in the same proportion like everyone else. Chazal tell us it's because they came in contact with the Aron. Is that the only reason? Or was this also part of that equation? Who knows? Who's to say? But these are, and also, you know, that touches upon a general question in society: is a person allowed to take risks? Like last year, 2 years, or whatever, the last 20 months, when the lockdowns, are you allowed? Okay, there's a lockdown. I'm willing to risk my life to go diving with a minion. Now you'll say, well, it's not risking your life; you're risking everyone's life. Okay, so it's not a good example. But if you can find a good example where a person wants to be meiser nefesh to do something, is he a chassid shaita? Or are there such parameters where a certain percentage, where is the threshold of
they
where?
Babies dying, they should stop doing it.
So that's exactly the question. What are the rules? No one has any rules. What are the rules? Let's say this argument. This argument they did make. A couple of years ago, it's been a while already, maybe it's even close to 10 years, no, I don't know, 10 years. A number of years ago, there was a very big challenge to mitzitza b'peh. It was a very big challenge in the city. That's one of the things why the people they promoted de Blasio, because Bloomberg, was dead against mitzitza b'peh, dead against it. De Blasio, he endeared himself to the Haredi community by telling them, you can religiously do whatever you want. You get yeshivas, do whatever you want. Bris Mil, do whatever you want. He tried to get that segment of the vote, which I don't know what the big deal is. How many votes are you going to get already in the Haredi community? Anyway, they don't vote. So what's the big deal anyway? But whatever it is, and at that time when there was this whole controversy about Mitzitza Bepeh, there were a lot of arguments back and forth. Okay, the pro and the con. And the people that were pro, they made an argument. I told this to you in the show many times, which is a very interesting argument. I don't know if it's right or wrong, is the very nature of Bris Milah is Pikuach Nefesh. It's Sakonis Nefashis. Babies die from Bris Milah statistically throughout the world. If you do a Bris Milah, there's going to be a percentage, if you do Bris Milah and every single Jew is born, there's going to be a percentage of babies that die from Bris Milah. Directly from Bris Milah. Now today, Baruch Hashem, because of modern medicine, it's the numbers are probably very, very small. But go back 500 years ago, and go to a community where every single Jewish child has a Bris Milah. How many children died from Bris Milah? There's a number. It's not zero. It's a number, right? That's why they didn't have penicillin. They didn't have antibiotics. They didn't have all the technology we have today, and people died. Parents, they had a hard time having a child. They went through a very torturous labor. There was no epidurals. And a miracle happens, you have a baby. You have a baby. And now, you do a Bris Milah, and the baby dies. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So now there's a next baby. I should go and do a Bris Milah on this baby? The statistics. The statistics are a certain number of babies will die from Bris Milah. So what do you do? So the answer is, well, the Torah says, do it anyway. Really? Yeah. Torah says, if you have no reason to assume that this baby has some illness that will die and he appears to be a healthy baby, do it. Do the Bris Milah. But statistically, there are going to be people and babies who die. So what do you see from this? You see that the Torah is telling you, this is an argument that was made then. I'm just telling you what this is written up over and over. The Torah told you, this is dangerous. People are going to die. I want you to do the Bris Milah anyway, to take that risk. So the argument was, once already it has been established that there's a risk and it's a dangerous procedure, adding another dimension of sakana, of mitzitza bepeh, another dimension of sakana, you can't tell a person who wants to do it, you can't do it. You hear the argument? I'm not saying it's correct. I'm not telling you, I'm not getting my head chopped off over here by telling you it's correct. But I'm telling you, the argument was made is, since the very act, the surgery of Bris Milah, by nature, is a danger, and people die from Bris Milah, if parents want to do also Mitzitza Bepeh, which will now add a new dimension of sakana, you can go and tell them, we don't want you to do it. It's your free will, your choice. It's your child, it's your choice. Oh, but it's a sakana. We should go and prevent people from doing this because they might end up killing their own child. And we don't want people to kill their own child. So we have to stand back and don't do it. You may kill your child. They can say, listen, are you letting us do Bris Milah? Are you going to hold us back from doing Bris Milah? No. We'll let you do Bris Milah. But it's a sakana. The baby could die. Do you agree? Yeah, I agree. The baby could die. It is a sakana. It's no klinikait to do a Bris Milah. So why are you letting us do the Bris Milah? The baby may die. The Torah said to do it. The Torah said put yourself in that risk. So once the whole procedure by nature is a sakana, and the Torah said, put yourself in sakana, adding a little bit more sakana to satisfy our beliefs that this is necessary is also part of the sakana. And it's not significant enough that you should be able to prevent me from doing so if that's what I want to do.
Did they suspend the mitzvah during COVID?
Many did. Yishno, many actually did. It depends on the moil. It depends. Many did, yeah. Actually, it's actually, they did.
What's
true.
The halach here?
What?
If you do not do mitzvah.
It's fine.
It's fine, I mean, so.
Oh, so that's the counter argument. As I'm saying is, but there are people, drop my head off here. There are people who believe that this is the most mechuder way to do the bris milah. They believe, they have a tradition. I don't even have their arguments. I don't know. If you don't do mitzvah to the pet, there's no one that will say that it's not a kosher bris milah, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Anyone that would say that's not Epicurus, as far as I. Everyone will agree, if you don't do it, it's a kosher. But the same way when you do mitzvahs, you can do mitzvahs, you know, A and A plus, their tradition, their beliefs, whatever they may be, they'll bring you their sources, is they feel that it's a lechatchilo to do the mitzitza with mitzitza lepeh. Listen, my Rebbe, Rabbi Belsky, was one of the biggest pro mitzitza lepeh people. Rabbi Belsky. And Rabbi Rani, what's his name?
Rani Cohen.
Also, very, very pro. These are big mumchim in bris milah, and they were very, very upset what was going on, how people were stopping bris milah because of the herpes skin, those whole thing. They were very, very, very disturbed. They were very familiar with all the science and all the things that were going on, and they have a mesorah that it's a lechatchila to do it this way. So we want to say to them, other people want to say to them, listen, you know, it's a lechatchila, but you have no right to put children in danger for a lechatchila. You have no right. You have to follow the science. You have to. So it's a what? Why could sakana? So here's what's very interesting. Excuse me, bris milah in and of itself is sakana. Everyone's going to agree to that. You're not going to get anyone that's going to disagree with that. And no Orthodox Jew is going to say, you know, it's a sakana. You know, someone, you can try to die. And child children, Rahman al-Islam, do die. And years ago, going back, before all modern medicine, children really did die. And therefore, it's a sakana. But you acknowledge that even though it is a sakana, we are obligated to enter into to take a risk. Oh, okay, that's the counter argument. Great. So this is the discussion. This is all part of the discussion. Why eat another sakan? But it's a different. It's an interesting point. Again, I'm not here to. I'm just telling you. This argument was made very prominently. The whole essence of bris milah is sakan, and once the Torah gave a green light to people, not give a green light, instructed, if a person has a tradition that the hiddur, the best way to do this, how my bris milah was done, this is how my father and my grandfather, my great grandfather, as far as I know, this is the way we've done bris milah all the years. So I want my child to have bris milah the same way. Oh, but in the modern world, in the 21st century, it's a sakana. Is bris milah a sakana? Yes.
Everything is sakana.
Not everything is sakana.
Going in the car, going in the street is sakana.
There,
going
no,
in an airplane,
not everything
sakana.
Is sakana.
Going in the trains is sakana.
Bringing
going
the
in the bus
to the
going walking. To
not here, doing a bris milah.
Okay,
this argument we can fight about the whole day. I'm just bringing out the point. I think it's a very subtle point, and obviously many people reject this point. They don't like exactly your argument. They don't like this point. They don't like it. But it is a point. There is something to touch upon. There is an element to touch upon. Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. This question has been around for thousands of years. Right? Is there anything new now that brought this question to the forefront?
We know a lot. We know so much. Today we can trace the herpes. We can trace who the carrier is. Today, years ago, what you don't know is good for you. Today, we know too much. We know you can trace everything. So now that everything became revealed,
so the sakana didn't get greater. It's just that we know the divisions of where it's
okay.
Coming.
This is not our main topic. You're right. This is a big hot potato, hot topic.
When I was a chaplain in Germany, I would bring in a mail from Switzerland, to do the bris milah, because I got letters from parents, grandparents of that they want a bris milah, a kosher bris milah. So the mayor asked me when they should do mitzitza bepeh. So I said, yes, mitzitza bepeh. After the bris, I asked the doctors what they thought about it. So they said, yeah, it was done very nicely. And then I asked them, what about this suction? So they said, oh, this was an old medical theory to prevent infection. You suck on the wound. But today, it's not necessary.
Okay, I'm not, this is a big, big topic. The Mishnah Berurah, it's mashma.
That's the old baloney story with, reasons for the Torah.
The Chassam Sofer mentions not doing the prepare.
Trade for food is not healthy for you.
The Chavetz Chaim mentions not prepare.
When you say not prepare, you mean like a straw or something?
A suction. You have to do, I don't know what science doctors say today, but today everyone does some form of suction. They do a suction. Well, how the technique, there are many modern techniques of doing the equivalent. Is it even necessary? I'm sure there are people today in the medical field that would say that today, Mishtana Hateva, it's not even necessary. Maybe they'll say it's even harmful. I don't think Mitzitza is mentioned in all in Shulchan Aruch, no one's going to not do today a suction. The question is, are they going to do Mitzitza Bepeh, or are they going to do another Bepeh? You'll find doctors, I have no doubt, that will tell you, don't even do. You're doing more harm by doing mitzitza. That's not going to happen because the Shulchan Aruch, it says you have to do mol pavloi motzatz. There are certain expressions that are used, I don't have them, I'm putting my tongue, in Shulchan Aruch and the Gemara, that are just too explicit to ignore. So it's not going to happen in an Orthodox bris milah that they're not going to do unless the doctor says mamash pikuach nefesh in this particular case. They're not going to ignore mitzitza. It's going to be done. The question is, will it be done bepeh? Will it be done through a technique, a modern technique? And during COVID, obviously, things changed quite a bit. Many people that were on the line, that are on the border, they very quickly changed their opinion very, very quickly. I really don't know. I mean, I used to daven Chaim live many, many years. They have Baruch Hashem, the old, now they don't have so much. But in those days, there was probably a bris at least once a week. And one of the big Moyalim that did probably 50% was Pradinsky. Simcha Bunim Pradinsky. He did not do Mitzitza Bepeh. Not. Chaim Belin, they don't do it. He did not do it, and it was, it's not an issue. I'm sure there were people that I think he the other model of Zimmerman. Zimmerman, he does it. I saw my own eyes. He does it. He used to do. He didn't do. There's another model that he did. Other model did. I would say, but 50% of the bris milos that were done by Chaim were done by him for many, many years, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it, and that's the way it was, and that's the way. That's the way it is. Fine, like you say, there are people more in the Hasidic world. This is what they want. This is their mission. So the question is, do we have a right to go and say to people who have power? You know, you're a rabbi of a shul. Okay, you're a rabbi of a shul. I don't want a my achrayus in my shul that a mitzitza bepeh should be done. I don't want my places. I don't want that, you know, the baby can die, the moil can die, the parent. I don't want my, you want to do a mitzitza bepeh, go to another shul. Don't do it in my shul. So can a rabbi go and say, tell a person, you do it wrong? I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're the rabbi. If you own the property, you do whatever you want. But the question is does this person says, you know, I had myself, my father, my grandfather. By us, that's how we do it. That's how we do it. So, do I have a right to say, you know, you're putting yourself in sakana on my plates? I don't want any sakana on my mouth. Or do you say it's all wrapped up in the sakana of bris milah? Bris milah is a sakana. It is a sakana. It's not walking the street. Crossing the street is everything is a sakana. Breathing the air today is a sakana. Okay?
There's no mitzvah to add to it.
Right, that's the counter argument. Exactly. That's the count. But crossing the street is not called a sakon. It says walk. There's a red light. The car stops. You walk across the street, right? That's not a sakon. Bris Mila is a sakona. It is. That's the fact. And today, but years ago in the time of the Torah, it was a much greater sakon than it is today. Today, Baruch Hashem, modern medicine, we don't hear stories. But before modern medicine came along, this is a sakana, this is big time sakana.
I bet more people got killed crossing the street with the light than died with Bris Mila.
Okay, so this is an argument that has been made. It's an interesting argument. It's an argument. I know many people don't want to hear the argument. I get it, and I'm not telling you where I used to daven. They didn't do Bris Mila. Obviously, they didn't hold up the argument because where I'm accustomed to is they didn't do Bris Mila. They didn't do Metzitzaveh. It's not the Mishnah Brura, the Chavetz Chaim. He writes in Berlach on Shabbos in the context of Shabbos. He writes talks about not doing it b'peh. You shouldn't do it b'peh. The Mishnah Brura. The Chassam Sofer, in the context of a tshuva, you see where he mentions they're not doing it b'peh.
Why should you not do it?
I don't remember the context, but in the context of the Chassam Sofer and in the Mishnah Brura, they write, they mention in passing, that mitzitza does not have to be done b'peh. The people who hear this, they can't live with this. So they go to extremes and they say, I mean, this is what they say, and it just goes to show how crazy people can get, is the Chofetz Chaim, he didn't write that. That was written by someone else. I'm telling you. They say that part of the Mishnah Brura, the Chofetz Chaim didn't write.
I agree with that.
I mean, come on, that's ridiculous to say that. And the Chassam Sofer, he was talking to people who, you know, he was not talking to the Hamoinan. You know, okay, listen. You know, this is not my intended topic. My intended topic is talking about again. Let's put this aside for now. Well, another time.
Adkan. You know, it should be done.
To each his own.
Interesting topic. How was the Mishnah Brura written?
That's what, right. That's topic to itself. That's okay. That's a whole different thing. But in any event, let's get back on where we went off. And that is, Avraham Avinu's Bris Mila did not have Puriah. Okay, it only had the removal of the foreskin itself, not the second part, the Puriah. And I don't know, but if there's no Puriah, I'm assuming there is no Metzitza B'peh. Because the Iker Dam comes, if I'm not mistaken, from the Puriah, from the removal of the membrane, the inner membrane. That's where the blood comes. Removing over the thicker outer foreskin does not necessarily. So therefore, the question. Therefore, it was a different type of Bris Mila. The next point.
He did it on himself.
Is that correct, or did someone do it for him? I don't know. I think you're right. There's a medicine
he
did it on himself.
That's a Kaddish part.
Okay. Now let's go. Let's now go to the next. Let's now. Here's something else. Next question. Now this, and that is, Avraham was a ger, right? He was a ger. He was the first ger. We start with that. A ger needs to go to the mikvah. Go to the mikvah. Did Avraham Avinu go to the mikvah? Did he go to the mikvah before he was a ger? What?
Every Erev Shabbos,
he went to the mikvah. Doesn't say anywhere. That Avraham Avinu went to the mikvah. Sorry, doesn't say it anywhere. Next question, you need Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. In order for a ger to become, there are three parts. A male who becomes a convert has to do three things. He has to Bris Mila. That's the first thing he does. Then there's Kabbalah. He has to accept upon himself all the mitzvahs. And then he goes into the mikvah. Three things. Aravinu, now even the Bris Mila itself, there are three parts of the Bris Mila. There is the Mila, there is the Priya, and the Mitzitza. Where Avraham Avinu, he certainly did not have Puriah, and that means he did not have Mitzitza. Well, that's Makid, that is a separate question, but he didn't have Puriah, that's for sure. Now, that is Makid, and he did not go to Mikvah, and he did not have Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs, because there were no Mitzvahs. There were no Mitzvahs to accept. The Torah wasn't given yet. So this is now, I'll tell you now, I'll show you another thing which is a little bit foolish, but it's not so foolish. The interesting thing is, by regular Bris Mila, how did the Bris Mila start? Baruch Haba. What's Baruch Haba? Who are you saying Baruch Haba for? For the baby or for someone else?
For
What?
Eliyahu Navi.
So I'm asking a foolish question. This is a very foolish question. But for a good reason. By Avraham Avinu's bris milah, Harav Dr. Cohen Shlita, Harav Dr. Colonel, did they have a kisei shel Eliyahu by the bris milah of Avraham Avinu?
It was better. The Rebbeinu Shlomo was present there.
No, Hashem was the Sandik. It says in the Medrash that he was the Sandik. A Sandik. Did they have a Sandik? Now, it was a different term. There's a different term. It wasn't called a Sandik then. It was called something else. But a Hashem...
Sandik is Greek.
Right. It's a Greek word. They didn't have a... The term did not exist.
Resist.
A godfather. A godfather. Okay, that's a different topic. What exactly is a Sandik? A Sandik basically is a person that's there to help you.
Help.
How do you help? Money. Give a lot of money to help you. Now the Medrash says. Makes it very clear.
The etymology of Sandik from the Greek means to help with, to give a hand with.
A hand with to help.
Sin is with. Dak is the hand. In other words, the one who gives a hand to help.
The Gabbai.
Now, a sandik, the Medrash says the purpose of a sandik are the knees. The knees are critical in a sandik. You're supposed to put the baby on the knees. It's a Medrash. Medrash Shecher Toif. That's on Tehillim, right?
Also known as Medrash Tehillim.
Medrash Tehillim is the only place where it talks about the role of a sandik. What we call a sandik. The word sandik is a modern term. You said it's a modern term. And the Medrash Shecher Toif discusses the person who the knees, the part of the body, every part of the body has a mitzvah, a unique mitzvah. A person's knees are created, or the upper portion of the leg, is to hold the baby.
The lap.
To hold the birkayim, not the knees, that's the wrong word, the birkayim. Well, the birkayim really are the knees. That section of the leg is to hold the baby in position at the time of the baby's bris milah. Yaakov Avinu by Yosef. Hashem gave Yaakov a bracha that Gam b'nei Dorvi of Yuldu al Birkei Yosef. Birkei Yosef, the knees of Yosef, which Chazal interpreted to mean he was a sandik, what we call a sandik. Okay, I'm just, that word is not a really great word, but what we call a sandik. That's the purpose. So now, just a general question. Let's say you have an adult. It happens all the time, a Baal Teshuvah, or a ger, an adult, and he's having a bris milah. What? So the ger, an adult, someone who's 50 years old, is gonna lie down on your knees. You don't do it like that. You don't do it. You don't go lie down on their on someone who's 50 years old, or even someone who's 10 years old. You take a 10-year-old kid and he sits on the knees of someone when the male does a bris milah. Unheard of. A baby, an infant. It used to, in fact, be known as the sandik. The mother was the sandik. Okay, it's recorded. It used to be that until a certain point in time, who would be the best one that should be the sandik, hold the baby in place when the male does the bris milah? The mother. The mother should be the sandik. At some point in time, it became a very firm world, about 1,000 years ago. About 1,000 years ago, the Haredi police said this is not sneistic. Because they're not going to be able to put the pictures in the Flatbush Jewish Journal. So, about 1,000 years ago, they decided that it's not good for the pictures to have the mother of the baby be the sandik. So they cut it out. What?
They didn't allow the mother to come to the bris at all.
Because of COVID?
No.
When?
Because that she would get to a moment.
Hysterical.
And
oh, really?
And
yeah.
Really?
They didn't let the mother come altogether. Interesting.
When I was a kid?
Really?
Yeah.
And will the mother come to a bris milah?
No.
Wow, I never heard this before. Because it's recorded that the mothers used to be the sandik. And then because it was late sanua, I guess at some point in time they felt that on wholesale it wasn't a good idea for, you know, the moil to be right on top of a woman like that doing the bris milah. So they stopped it. And they said only men, only then all the kids, then who's the best person to be the sandik? The moil. The moil should be the sandik. Now you need to be skillful. Why not? Why should it be so difficult? I don't understand why should it be so difficult. The moil holds the baby. The one that does the milah, he holds the baby on his
knees when he does the bris mila. Why is that impossible? It's not impossible.
You need two hands to hold the baby's legs.
So you figure it out. You figure out. What? He did that? On babies? He was a sandik and he... Okay, it's not impossible to do, and some did this. Some people did this, okay? But became a kibbutz, he gave it to the grandfather, it became a very big thing. It turned into a very big kibbutz. It's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. Now, my question over here is, what about an adult? When an adult has the bris milah, it's not possible to go put the person on your knee. But the neder shaychatoy says the knees. Well, obviously you can't do it. So you mean there's no sandik? No, because it says, I don't have the words in front of me, it says that Avraham Avinu had a sandik. Who is the sandik? The Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Medrash says Hashem held his hand. Like you said, a sandik, as Rav Dr. Cohen said, a sandik means to give a hand. That's what it says by Avraham Avinu. It says that Avraham Avinu, he was afraid. He was shaking. He was startled. And Hashem was mechazek him. Hashem held his hand. Hashem held his hand. Hashem was the first sandik. Hashem held his hand to be mechazek him. Do not worry. And that's the way we do. That's how it's done today by adults. An adult, we have an adult bris mila, the mechaber, a sandik, to hold the hand of the adult, whether it's a ger or it's an adult Jew, you hold their hand. You go back, do it the way the Ribbono Shel Olam did it. What about a Kisei Shel Eliyahu? What?
They hold the hand.
No. So that is another thing I saw, but that's not, that's also done, but that's also mentioned. They put their hand on their head. They put their hand on their head. No, they hold the head. They just, they put their hand on the head. Like giving a bracha. He brings it down also, he understands that the tzaddik and adult, you put your hand on the nimel's head. Okay, but I saw a lot of other places that no, I have to ask what they do. The Bati Dinin is you don't put the hand on the head, you hold her hand. Because that's what it says, Beferush and the Megush. That Hashem held the hand of Avraham Avinu at the time of his bris mila. It's true, because the beer, but this is, all right, I don't know, sorry here. Now, what about Kisei Shel Eliyahu? Well, Avraham Avinu, well, guess what? Eliyahu wasn't born yet. Eliyahu HaNavi did not exist at the time of Av. So there was definitely no Kisei Shel Eliyahu. There was no Kisei Shel Eliyahu at the Bris Mila of Avraham Avinu. Sorry, you can't make that up. There was no Eliyahu. Pinchas Eliyahu, he didn't exist yet. So there's
there
a very.
No minion either.
Oh, there was no minion. That's right. Do you need a minion? Do you need a minion for bris mila?
COVID. The minion is the macabre.
The fire saint.
Into Klal Yisrael.
COVID. There were probably hundreds, if not thousands, of milois during COVID. There was no minion. My own family. What? So do you make all the brachas? Of course, you don't need the minions of the bris mila, but what about the brachas? The bracha that you make after the bris mila, do you need a minion? You don't need a minion to make the bracha of Al Mila. That you don't need a minion for. Asher Kedushan B'mitzvah.
But for that, because it's to be the Kabbalah and the Klal Yisrael, you need a minion.
The shame, to be farsim, the name. The Yikarei Shmoi B'Yisrael is a shayla.
Okay, so there are two parts. This is the Hasonah Sa'ola, and then there is the Kabbalah in Klal Yisrael.
Okay, so this is a very big shaila. During COVID, they were my own cousin. They did, the only one by the bris mila was the father, the mother, and the baby brother, and the moil. That was it. What?
The
Zoom.
He has to cry.
In the Shema Koloi Boel Hakodesh, the Avraham Avinu cried. Did he cry about his bris mila? So, do you tackle any minute? I don't know the answer. It's not so because when you make the bracha at the end, the first bracha you for sure do not need a minion. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvase v'tzivanu al hamila. You do not need a minion, and the mila is done no matter what, even if you're all alone. The shail is the bracha you make at the end. as you make a bar priya gofen, and you make ashechosam bo'is b'kach alkein b'schazois tzadei lahatzil nidibus mishachas l'man she'era yashasam b'v'surena baruch atah Hashem korei sabris. Do you need a minyan for that bracha? I believe not, but I'm not so sure, because what you do? You do, okay, could be you do for that bracha. Now why? So there are different reasons. So the Rav Kohn is saying is because that's a Kabbalah into Klal, you have to have a Klal Yisrael. And also is a very interesting other idea that I saw is because that's when you name the baby. And naming the baby needs Pirsum. Just like Megillas Esther, you're supposed to lay with 10 people. Pirsume Nisa. When you want to be Mepharsim, a miracle, you need 10 people. L'chatchila. Pirsume Nisa. When you give the baby a name, you need Pearson.
Does it have to be at that party?
What?
Could it be the next
you're
day
supposed to. You're supposed to give the name at the Bris Milah. That's what you're supposed to do. So the Shaila, he's asking a very good Shaila. Mr. Merill is asking a Shaila that this really no Yehalacha L'maisa. I don't know. I never. Babies today who had their Bris Milah. Babies today who had their Bris Milah during COVID in a private setting with one or two people. My own, I know people, the dime a dozen, not everyone here knows people like this.
The person was over Zoom.
What?
The person was over Zoom.
You're saying, so first of all, not every bris had even 10 people watching it on Zoom. I know my cousin, only two people were watching, my uncle and aunt, that was it. We was there, no one, they didn't even send me the link, you know what? It was a very private thing. So here's a Shiloh. These children, just like a girl, what do you do for a girl? You name a girl over a Sefer Torah in Shul. Why? Why do you name the girl over a Sefer Torah in Shul? Because Pearson, you have to name the girl when there are 10 people. You want to be Mepharsim in the Velt. This, there's a new person, a new member, and they have a name. A baby that had Bris Milah in private, is there an inyan to make a Mishaberach V'yikar Yishmar B'Yisrael? When COVID was over, when lockdown was over, we're still in lockdown, unfortunately, outside of New York, you know, outside, it's a different world outside of New York. Outside Dalamas of the metropolitan area, but you can't imagine what's going on out there. And when after someone comes out of lockdown, is there a requirement, even a halachic requirement, like a girl, you should make a mishaberach? You should give an aliyah to the father, and you should say, V'yikarei Shmoi B'Yisrael, Chaim Yango. What? Nothing's ma'ak, it's not ma'ak, but there's an inyan, right? It's not ma'ak, but there's an inyan to be mefarsim berabim, to publicize, because according to some opinions, if I'm not mistaken, the reason why you need that bracha that you make after the bris is over, it's intertwined with giving the baby a name. And some hold you need a minion. I'm not sure exactly the halacha l'maisa. And part of the reason why you need a minion is because since part of what you're doing is v'yikarei Shmoi B'Yisrael, built into that bracha is v'yikarei Shmoi B'Yisrael, and you're being mefarsim. And if you don't have the piercing of 10 people to be mefarsim, that is the name of the baby, then you can't make the bracha. So maybe you should make that. Can you make that bracha another time? Can you save that bracha for 6 months?
What were the person that were done in the Soviet Union, Russia, or and it was Vikari Shemai.
They had no choice. That was a time of Shemai. Of course it's not Ma'akir. A person's a person. Question is,
it's a better, it's an Indian.
Is there an Indian? So there in Soviet
Union, but they made the brachas, that's what I'm saying. You're saying, could they make the bracha, not make the bracha?
I'm not so sure they make the bracha. The bracha you make at the end, I don't know what the halacha is. I could be Farish and Shulchan Aruch. Let's go back to the topic. A ger does not have these in Yadav. Now, a person born to us has a Jewish mother. Today, obviously, you have everything is there. Here is just want to make some interesting ideas that are brought out by the Achroinim. Let's say this man has that we have a ger. Let's tell you a very famous story. This is a very famous story. And it created a very big controversy in Eretz Yisrael. He writes it up over here very nicely in the way Dvorak is a Sefer, where there was a bris meal that took place for a ger on Erev Shabbos. in Eretz Yisrael. Now we know that the halach is that a goy is not allowed to observe Shabbos. If a goy, a non-Jew, observes Shabbos, the shame Shabbos, chayav misa. Everyone knows the joke about there was a person, he came to shul, he sat and learned the whole Shabbos, and he had a chavrusa, and then it was discovered he's not even Jewish. So as chavrusa says, not Jewish. You're shomer Shabbos. Don't you know that a goy that observes Shabbos chayav misa? I know. That's why I'm very careful to carry something with me on Shabbos all the time. I keep in my pocket something. But we have an Erev. I am whole from the Erev. That's one of the oldest jokes in the book. I am whole from the Erev. The goy says, I don't hold, therefore, that's why I'm a Chal Shabbos, every Shabbos, so therefore I'm not Chayiv Misa. But here was a Shaila, what's happened in Eretz Yisrael, there was a person that was in the process of becoming a Ger, and whatever the reason was, they did the Bris Milah right before Shabbos. And he was Mekabel upon himself, Kabbalah Samitzvahs. I accept upon myself wholeheartedly all of the mitzvahs. And then, it's now time to go to the mikvah to conclude the third ingredient. Guess what? The mikvah is puzzle. There's something wrong with the mikvah. The mikvah is broken, whatever it is. There's no mikvah. Okay, we'll finish it on Sunday. Sunday? I'm in limbo.
The gerus is not finished.
I'm in limbo. I had bris mila l'shem yadus. I was mekabel the mitzvahs. And the mikvah is broken. Shabbat luchu neranna mizma shiliyam haShabbos. And now the shaila was: should this person, should he be mechallel Shabbos lechatchila? Because the Gemara says a goy that observes Shabbos l'shem Shabbos is chayiv misa. Shabbos is oishi beinu uveinecha. Shabbos is for members only. If you're not a member, you don't observe Shabbos. So what do they do? There was a, one of the, he has all the right, I can't remember all the names. They asked one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and he says he should be Mechal Shabbos. He should. And then they told this to another one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and he went ballistic. He says, what? Ballistic! He went ballistic. What? Want me to find the names? Let me see if I can find it over here. Let me see if I can find it quickly over here, all the people over here. The Maisa, this was a famous Maisa. Remember hearing about this Maisa? About this Ger that was Mekabel Mitzvahs, the Ger. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Okay, let's see. Here we go. Muva B'shut Binyan Tzion. Maisa She'ida B'Yushalayim B'Ger Shemol V'loi Hispik Litbol Lifnei Shabbos B'shut B'Kayim Lon. The Eve Ger Achimol the Yitbo. The Nimsa Shadain Goihu Umuzar Shalo Lishbois. You're not allowed to do Nala, you have to, you're not allowed to keep Shabbos. The Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Misa. The Chachme Yerushalayim Nechlklu Olav. There was a fight in Yerushalayim what to do with this person. Kevon Shekibel Kola Mitzvahs Bishas Mila. He was Makabel all the Mitzvahs. He did two parts, were done. So they said, many said, E Efshar. There's no way you can tell somebody who had bris milah and was mekabel the mitzvahs that he should be mechal Shabbos. That's absurd, right? Right? It sounds absurd. Ubal binyan tzion. Who's the binyan tzion? Pasak echachne Yerushalayim. He agreed. Vayichiach zoyishoy avaseinu b'midbar. And what's the raya? Very simple raya. Look at Klal Yisrael in the desert. In Mora, we know they were given select group mitzvahs in Mora. One of the mitzvahs that was right after the Kriyas Yamsuf. Right after Kriyas Yamsuf, what was Shabbos? Shabbos, one of the first mitzvahs. Nitzdavu ala Shabbos b'Mora, koidem tzvila. But Matan Torah took place later. By Matan Torah, Moshe says, v'chibsu simloi seichem. Which is interpreted there to mean the chivs of clean your garments is interpreted to mean not just your garments, you have to go to mikvah. Matan Torah was the Geirus of Klal Yisrael, is where the immersion took place. Some say the Kriyas Yam, so that's not really accurate. But we learn when Moshe Rabbeinu told them to bathe, in essence told them to bathe in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah. The bathing for Kabbalah Satorah was the tzvila is going to mikvah. Bris Mila they had in Mitzrayim. Before they ate the Karban Pesach, Moshe said, you cannot eat the Karban Pesach until you have Bris Mila. The Dam Pesach, Ve'erech Mispeseses B'domoyich. Dam Pesach, V'dam Mila. When was Tevila? Where do we find they went to Mikvah? V'tiharu, V'chibsu Simloy Seichem. V'tiharu means go to Mikvah, that's what it means. The Tiharu, it says by Matan Torah, the Hayu Nechonim L'Shloishes Yom, Al Tikshu Alisha, it says there, somewhere in those psukim there, that you shall purify yourselves and wash your clothing. Which Chazal understand that in preparation for Matan Torah is Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, they had to go to Mikvah. So we have the Bris Mila took place in Mitzrayim, the Tzvila and the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs took place at Har Sinai. What was between? What was in between Mila of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Tzvila and Kabbalah HaMitzvah Matan Torah? Mora, one of the places where they stopped off between the 40 days in between Yitzias Mitzrayim was Mora. And Chazal tell us over and over, they got a couple of mitzvahs. And one of the mitzvahs they got there in Mora was Shabbos. So here they are, they're observing Shabbos in Mora, Shemesh Shabbos in Mora, and they did not yet have Tzvila in the mikvah. So this fellow who had Bris Mila, he's even better because he had Bris Mila and he had Kabbalah Samitzvahs. The only thing that he's missing is going to Mikvah. So the Binyan Tzion Paskin, he can't be Machal Shabbos. We're no different than us in Mora.
But over there they didn't have the negative command that you're going to, it's Chayiv Karev.
It's a full Matan Torah, so it's not such a Gerei Sarai, it's a full Matan Torah. All right. V'kach Kosav B'shut Avnei Nezer. Okay, going over here. B'muva B'sefer told us Chachmei Yerushalayim Chelek Gimel Perek Zayin HaGoyim Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. Tongue twister. Tukachinsky. Zatzal Shama. Yipi Choysano Zikeno, his father-in-law Zikeno HaGoyim Rabbi Shul Salant Rav Yerushalayim Rabbi Shul Salant Zatzal Shehis Loinein B'shatoi. He disagreed. B'shaitoi al psak hagoin, who is this referring to? Hagoin, he said the gro, that's not the gro. Sheposak, sheger, shemod loy toval. Someone complained about the psak of hagoin. Is this the gro? Maybe it's from the gro, I don't know. Sheposak. The gro paskin, sheger, shemol, the loy toval. Osir, you must read the binyan tzion, osir loy lechalel es hashabos. The histayim de horashba hanal shekvar chalbo mixas yadus the choisev olav shehamila hoifchay liyehudi gamor ella the belihat filoi. Okay, he's going on to explain. So he complained about ger shemol the loy toval. Okay, there's something over here that's mixed up over here. I have to read it very carefully. But over here, he seems over here that there was a big tumult. Rav Shmuel Salant, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky, and maybe there's a girl which is a binyan tzion. And he writes over here, and there's a Rashba, and it seems over here that it was not so simple. Nishta zoi poshet. This whole sugi over here of what this person should do. Before Matan Torah, you can't make any rayas. This whole mice is a very nice raya, right? It's a very nice raya of Mora. They have Shabbos, and there wasn't Mila. I mean, you can't bring any rayas before Matan Torah. You can't bring any rayas before Matan Torah. Then it goes on, so there's really no answer. This was a big tumult. They paskin. The bottom line was this ger was not mechalal Shabbos. It's not mistaver. A person that's bris mila and was mechalal the mitzvahs should be mechalal. It's not mistaver, and that was the psak halacha. But it wasn't so simple. In the process of this discussion, we're out of time. So he goes on to talk about a rashi. The rashi says, and this is really fascinating. This is really touching. But you know why it's fascinating? Rabbi Eliezer will like this. This touched upon probably the most famous vort of Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner, he wrote many, many, Rav Chutner, only my Hakdam, Rav Chutner, Zetzal Levacha. But one of the big things Rav Hudner and Pachad Yitzchak is, he has this, in fact, it's a Yiddish expression. I don't know Yiddish, I don't have a very poor memory. I can't memorize the expression. And he defines the difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Avraham was the first one to join. To join, right? Join the club. Yitzchak was the first one to be. He was FFB, from birth. Avraham was a BT. Not a BT, it was a Ger. He joined. He started off as an idolater. He joined Klal Yisrael. He made a decision to join. Yitzchak was the first one to be born a Jew. But here's the catch. If Yitzchak wanted, Yitzchak could have left. If he wanted out, the door is open. The door is open to leave.
He
could have left. Yitzchak could have left. Esau is the next generation. Esau is the next generation. But Yitzchak was born a Jew. But if Yitzchak wanted, Yitzchak could have made a decision. I want out. I don't want to be a Jew. I want to leave. Yaakov was the first one to create such a reality that you can't leave. You can't leave. A Jew is a Jew. What? Yisrael Shechoto. Yishmael, he was never Yishmael. What was the issue? It's hard to define what Yishmael was because I have to go see what it is. I don't know, but Yaakov established a reality in Klal Yisrael that you can't leave. Yisrael Shechoto, Yisrael, you can baptize a Jew from today until tomorrow, all you want. It's like going swimming. It's meaningless. It's worthless. There's no such thing as a Jew leaving Judaism. He's a Jew. A Jew is a Jew. You want to sin? No, so you're a Jewish sinner. Yisrael Shechoto. Yisrael. Yitzchak did not have that. If Yitzchak wanted out, I'm out. I'm not responsible. He could have if he wanted to.
Where did we see that?
Pachad Yitzchak. You have to see how he explains that. How he explains it. This is his. This is like one of his probably the most famous thing. This mimer, these the madrigals. Avraham joined. Yitzchak, he was a Jew from beginning to end. He was born a Jew and remained a Jew to the very last day, good to the last drop. He was the Maxwell House Jew. But if he wanted, he could have had Taser's Choice also. He didn't have to be a Jew. If he wanted to, he could have left. But he was a Jew from beginning to end. Yaakov created, I understand his words, a reality in Klal Yisrael. You can't leave, whether you like it or not. You can do whatever you want, but you're
why
still...
Why did Yitzchak have the option?
That's the reality, because he had the option. That's the reality. He had to make a decision his whole life to remain Jewish. Yitzchak's avoda was, I'm going to remain Jewish. It's a very big nisayon. Could you imagine today, Rachmana Litzlan, people had that opportunity to decide they want out? That's a frightening thing. Today you can't leave. Whether you like it or not, there's nothing anyone can do today who's born Jewish to leave Judaism. It's impossible. Rahman was funny, you can go marry a shiksa and have non-Jewish children. But you yourself, there's no way out. That is a reality that Yaakov Avinu created in Klal Yisrael. Now here's the tremendous connection, the Rashba. The Rashba is something that is mind-boggling. A ger. A goy, right? He goes to mikvah. He has a bris milah. Look at this guy near in Yerushalayim. Bris milah. They bring the gedolei Yisrael. Bris milah. Wow, very nice. Okay, bris milah. He then, I'm a kabel all the mitzvahs. Okay, mikvah. Knock, knock on the mikvah door. Sorry, it broke. There's a flood. There's a crack in the mikvah. All the water leaked out. There's no mikvah. Come back. Monday morning, the plumber's coming Sunday. Hopefully, we'll be back up and running by Monday morning, 9 o'clock. Sorry, guy. This fellow now, Shabbos, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. The Rashba says explicitly, this fellow now, from the moment he had Mila and Tzvila, he's Jewish. He's a Yid. He's like Yitzchak. If he wants, he's full-fledged Jew. Full-fledged. You can give him all the Ali, you can give him Mastir, chayiv in all the mitzvahs. You know what the difference is? Until he goes into mikvah, if he changes his mind, he's a goy. He can still change his mind. That's what mikvah does. Mikvah turns you from a Yitzchak into a Yaakov. Isn't that amazing? Such a thing. You're, according to the Rashba, you're a full-fledged Jew, 100%, but you can still, we have over here a very young listener over here. Yeah, you're a full-fledged Jew. Could you imagine? That's what it does for you. So, you take a pach ha-yitz and you into the mikvah. It changes you from a Yitzchak to a Yaakov, yeah?
The debate between Yosef and his brothers, whether they were Jews or not Jews, how does that fit into this?
I don't know. You have to play around. I don't know. So you have to think about it. You have to think about it. But this is what there's a Rashi. The Rashi was a Rishon. The Rashi says that's an awesome Chiddush. To say that full fledged we can still leave. That's what the mikvah does. It solidifies your status and you can no longer leave. Unbelievable, yeah?
Can you have mikvah before me?
No.
I don't think so. No. It doesn't work. It has to be in this order. No, I believe not. It's not a kosher tefillah. Now just I know there's a lot of very interesting things that I get. Let's say a ger, I'll tell you one very quick shot. Listen to one shiloh. There are many different shilohs. Let's say a person has a child. He does a bris milah. All the gedolei Yisrael, everything is fine and good. And then, 20 years down the line, he discovers that his wife is not really Jewish. Which basically, this person discovers his mother wasn't Jewish. That means the person is a goy. When he had a bris milah, everyone thought he's Jewish. The Gedolei Yisrael came to the Bris Milah. Who would imagine? He's married to this woman. This woman is Jewish. He's Jewish. They have a Bris Milah, Baruch Atah Hashem, with all the Hidurim. And then years later, they discover that the mother of the baby is not Jewish. She's completely not Jewish. Which means the baby is not Jewish. The baby's a goy. If the mother is a goy, the baby is a goy. And they ask this fellow, you know, you're not Jewish. Do you want to be a Jew? And he says, I want to be a Jew. I'm a kabbal upon myself, all the mitzvahs. And so he goes into the mikvah right away. Shiloh, does he need to have, now you can't do another bris, right? It's too late, the bris was already dead. But you need to have hatofas. Now the person who can't have another bris, they do what's called hatofas tam bris, which itself is, what is that all about? Is the bris milah that he had valid? Is there such a thing as a goy having a bris milah, l'shem bris milah, that can later on serve as a bris milah for geiris?
Didn't they do this to the Russians?
The Russians did not necessarily have bris milah. Period. Those that had a bris milah was not necessarily l'shem mitzvah milah. So then they have no truth. They have to assume that it was not. Here, a bris milah was done l'shem, lit with the biggest hidurim. Yeah, the gadol hador was the son. Yeah, the best. Everything was l'shem kedush bris milah, but it was a goy.
When a child who is not Jewish is getting a bris because the father is Jewish and he wants whatever.
Yeah.
What they do is tonight that this is l'shem milah if and when the child decides.
Oh, so they're working with the psak halacha. The psak halacha, see, that's worse, because in that case, you only can do a bris milah once. So same shiloh. So do you need to?
That's the right then. They're doing it on it tonight. Als geirus, when the child
will one become geir? But the shiloh now is fine. That's the same exact shiloh as this. I'm actually even better because they did a manashim. Shiloh is, does he need a tofas tam bris later on? So this machloek is a poskim. Imam Shdanban, he shows all the poskim. Some say no, you don't need. If you had a bris milah, l'shem bris milah, it's it. You're done. Later on, he decides in kabbal hamitzvah and has the best tefillah. You're done. Some say no, it's not even shayach. A bris milah that's done, not to become on a goy, it's not a bris milah. Why not? On a ger, why not? Why not? On a ger, is that how you do it? By ger, you do the bris mila, and then
that's
you do
the whole, that's the whole procedure.
Already there, from the very beginning, there was a kavan to become a Jew. Here, there was no kavana altogether. The kavan was a mistake. It was a tos. So this, there's no real good answer to this question. It's a machlokes. Obviously, it would be better, a hiddur.
The kavana when the baby is being a bris is that the kid is going to be Jewish, even though the mother's not Jewish. The kavana is there, and he's going to be Jewish.
It's, you have to ask the kid later on in life. If the baby is
they
not
do.
Jewish,
right,
they do a bris mila.
But
there, see, that's better. In that case, they're planning to make him Jewish. In that case, yeah, they adopt the baby, and they do a bris mila with the kavanah. This is the bris mila for Geras. Here, you have a case where there was no kavanah altogether.
Because
they thought he's a Jew, so they're not having a kavanah, if anything. Or worse, where they're having bris mila, they're doing a bris mila, because of the doctor, by going they do bris mila also, the many going do bris mila, 50% of the country does bris mila.
In the hospital,
50%, it used to be 70%, now only 50%.
They like bris mila.
Okay, well, there's someone here by the side. Thank you for coming, have a wonderful day.
The non-Jews like the miles, they don't like the dad.
What?
Well, because they're more experienced.
More experienced.
My couldn't get schools all the time.